subject. It's 8 p.m. This is Radio Ghana.
And live from our national studios here in Accra, we say welcome to Behind the News, our news and current affairs program, which examines issues from the perspectives of newsmakers and experts. I am Kingsley Odinchere. For tonight, NDC militia group Azoka Boys plan to storm Sunyai Congress with 1,800 strong force. But on whose advice are they doing this? Inter-party conflict within Upper East Regional Branch of CPP intensifies. What is happening this time around? And robbing passengers on our highways, the new strategy adopted by highway robbers. Before we get to these stories, however, we move to Ibrahim Kwatin for a summary of the day's news.
The Bono Ahafo Regional Chairman of the NDC, Opoku Atuahene, has promised delegates of an incident-free Congress on Saturday. He said, though there will be challenges such as security, accommodation and crowd control, the necessary arrangements have been made to put everything under control. Meanwhile, campaign teams of both President Mills and former First Lady Nana Akunadu Ajuman Rawlings are full of confidence about their chances of winning the primaries. The spokesperson for Get at a Milton Doors game, Barbara Asamoah, has refuted allegations of a secret alliance between President Mills and the CPP. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Madame Asamoah said game will welcome any help from the CPP since President Mills considers the development of the NDC a priority.
It's Behind the News, and as usual, we encourage you to be very active listeners. You can send your text and comments to 026-441-8767. 026-441-8767. Good language matters if your text is to get on air. And we move on to our stories. The militia group aligned with the NDC, the Azoka Boys, is planning to storm the NDC Congress in Sunyani tomorrow with a strong 1,800 members to, as it puts it, complement the efforts of the security and police personnel who are to ensure peace at the venue. Security analysts believe the move is clearly a recipe for disaster and has serious security implications. Why would the Azoka Boys dream of this move? And the bigger question is, are the police indicating they need assistance to ensure the security of delegates and party faithfuls? These are issues we want to explore with the leader of the Azoka Boys, Sofo Azoka. He's now on the line with us. Thanks so much for your time this evening, sir. Hello, Sofo Azoka. A few challenges with Sofo Azoka on the line, but we'll try to re-establish contact quickly and move to him. Yes, quickly, though, we want to check with the police exactly what is happening as we try to re-establish contact with the leader of Azoka Boys and also the security experts too. Kwesi Enin has joined us on the line. That is Dr. Kwesi Enin of the Kofi Annan Peacekeeping Center, a security expert. Thanks so much, Dr. Kwesi Enin, for joining us. Yes. You have heard of what the Azoka Boys plan to do. As a security analyst, do you think it is the most prudent thing to do?
Well, Azoka Boys have no status in law. The only institution mandated by law in this country to protect lives and property is the Ghana Police Service. If the Azoka Boys are not accredited delegates, they cannot and must not be allowed to enter the coronation stadium. Whatever they intend to do, immediately the security agencies perceive it in any way to be intimidating, to be threatening, and having the potential to disrupt the proceedings on Saturday, they have the right to take preventive action and to prevent them from being what they intend to do.
Yeah. So, naturally, the party has said that it is guaranteeing security for all those who will be attending the Congress. At this later, what will you be telling them?
The party.
is assuring everyone that the police will be there. That is what we've heard from them previously when we spoke to the leadership.
Yes. Well, I mean, the Ghana Police Service, I think, by the sheer force that they have on the ground, has demonstrated a willingness to prevent and to ensure that they contain any potential violence or rabble rousing. But I think it's also important for the Ghana Police Service to inform people about what they can carry on their person and what they cannot, so that we are all clear about what will be perceived as a potential threat, a potentially threatening weapon. Either it's a horse whip, a knife, a fork, a spoon, a broken bottle. It is so that there will be no contestations about their action on Saturday. And I think it's not too late for the Ghana Police Service to do that.
Okay, so you are depending on the police to take the right action and not just the party.
I mean, the party, all political parties in Ghana say one thing and then encourage their supporters to do the other. So, no, we cannot place our hopes on what the party is saying. The authority and the mandate to ensure that there is peace, law and order in this country is the mandate of the Ghana Police Service and not the political party.
Good. Even as you mention this issue, the Azoka boys are saying they are going to Sunyan with all genuine intentions, good intentions. Can they be relied upon, even if they are going to also ensure no weapon? That is, if we have to assume it that way.
Yes, but do they need to be at Coronation Park? It is important. We know that crowd control is the weakest point of the Ghana Police Service, historically. Okay, so if the Azoka boys are sincere in their rhetoric about supporting the process, I think they should stay where they are and watch from television and listen to it on radio. You see, because immediately there's a crowd, there will always be one rogue person whose actions, statements, body language might potentially lead others to respond.
Dr. Pesenin, please hold on. We've managed to re-establish contact with the leader of the Azoka boys, Fufu Azoka, to hear from him directly what they intend doing and why they have this in mind. Thank you so much, sir, for joining us on the line again. Yes. Can you confirm the number of people you are sending to Sunyan as you claim to ensure security at the grounds?
Good. There is police people there.
Yeah.
They are going to support a candidate who support us.
Oh, you are going to support the candidate?
We would like to support.
Okay.
It's not any violence. We all are one family.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something like, hey, we are going to war. No. This one is a family matter. Nobody to take his hand and put inside it. Somebody family is fighting or they are quarreling. Nobody to take his hand to put inside of somebody's family. We all are one family, one umbrella. Why this thing is going high, like something? We are preparing for 2020. It's not a Sunjuani Congress.
Yeah.
We should let our Congress to be calmed down.
Uh-huh.
We are not going there with violence. Everybody is educated now. So go and do violence. If you want your candidate to win, campaign for him. Talk to the delegates. It's not abusing or telling lies on delegates matter. So we should let the Congress to be calmed down. It's not any big deal.
Yes. So are we to assume then that you are not going to ensure any security, but just to support?
We have policemen, soldier men there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if they are saying something, I'm begging you.
Uh-huh.
You see,
yeah.
NDC is a one umbrella. You see, what we are saying that everybody, if you are not in the party, we should not take matter high.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
It's a problem, colleague. When we go to the Congress and finish, we all will come together and move the Better Ghana agenda forward. This one is not any big deal. Africa boys, look at what started our own people can spoil our name.
Mm-hmm.
It's not any big deal that we take this Congress like we are going to a World Cup. Everybody to have that vision to know what we will do in the party, the power to grow 2012. It's not matter a game of phone call or you go see some phone call telling lies on the radio. Master, delegate here. You can beg delegate. But you can't insult delegate to report you. You don't understand. If you insult delegates, delegate will not vote. But if you beg delegate, he can vote you. So we should leave everything as worker boys as so as worker boys can find security. Question to answer.
So Mazoka,
our security is best.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of Azoka boys or we I say I'm here Azoka Patuga, I'm telling everybody. If you are Azoka boy, if you are NDC and you come for Shingani and wanted to cause round there, wallah, they will pick you like a coco.
Right.
Like cock. So we should forget and we'll pray hard, then we'll go to the Congress peaceful and we'll come united and we'll fight for the 2012 election.
So Pazoka,
yes,
just let me ask about this particular one. Have you spoken to all the boys that it is just going to lend support?
Father,
yes.
Look, I'm the Azoka leader, one. I'm the regional chairman. We have leadership in Accra all over the country. I told them, if you go there and disgrace somebody, I will not mind that me and you all we are in other region. I'll let them pitch you. You understand? I'm sending delegates there. So we should leave Azoka boys and white boys and white boys. Pastor, it's very important that we should win the 2012 election and we achieve our Better Ghana agenda. It's not, but look, Mother, you will be surprised that if somebody behaves there, if you pick you, if you like, don't put NDC again. We will pick you like a coco. There is security men there. So we should live and pray hard. Then we go to the Congress peaceful, which in 2012, that is our challenge. It's not the challenge of the Congress. Master, we are begging just to leave the Azoka boys alone.
Okay. So for how many people are you sending?
Master, I can't count them.
There are many.
I can't count them.
About 2,000.
I can't count them, Master.
But we have been told there isn't enough accommodation and only delegates are being catered for. Not everybody can enter the center.
We start going to the Congress.
Yes.
We never go and sleep inside the room. We wanted to pray that the Congress will be peaceful. You understand me? The party is very important. Mother, look, the people when they go telling their own man lies, if they don't get any share for them, go and tell the police line. You see, we must take our time. Nobody. Professor Mills cannot give everybody his fair post. We have many million people in this country. He can't charge money to everybody. We should exercise patience and we go to the Congress and then we understand that it's Congress. We finish Congress and we organize ourselves.
Okay. So far, okay.
Very serious.
Yes, so far. So far, okay, you stressed that point.
Me, I'm feeling pity that somebody will see that this Congress is a very tough Congress.
Okay.
We are looking in that light. We are going to party.
Okay.
We party and talk and drink and dance and come back. That's all.
Thank you very much, Sofa Azoka, for joining us on the line. And as you say, we know you hope to keep the peace. Dr. Kwesi, thanks for holding on the line. Sofa Azoka is telling us that it is not a matter of going to ensure security, but they are also going as supporters. So what do we make of it?
Well, this is not my business to comment. If they are supporters, it depends upon the rules of the game. If candidates can bring their supporters, can they all enter the stadium? How are they checked? You know, sir, I mean, this is not my job at all. This is not what you called me to respond to.
Okay. We want to thank you very much for your time this evening. Dr. Kwesi Enin is a security analyst sharing his thoughts on the line, but he made it quite clear that the police has got the control to do whatever is necessary. And that is why we moved to the police this time around. And we have joining us the acting director of the Police Public Affairs Directorate, DSP Sifas Atta. Thank you very much too for joining us.
Merci.
Yes. You have indicated to everybody and all institutions that security in Sunyain will not be a daunting task for you. Is that the situation?
No, we are not saying that it will not be a daunting task. Looking at the situation, security is going to be a concern. And anything that is a matter of concern must be approached with all the seriousness that it deserves. And so it's not going to be a daunting task. It's going to be something that we have to contend with, and we have to do it and do it very well.
Yes. From the reports being received, it appears there will be numbers so overwhelming. Are your people also up to the task in terms of the number you've deployed?
This is something that is not unprecedented. It's something that has happened before. Police have had the opportunity to police a lot of such events. And in us, we have come out, excelled, and demonstrating to the world and Ghanaians that the Ghana Police Service is capable of policing such events. And so, we, with the experience at the background, and with the kind of intelligence that we have gathered over the period, and the kind of seriousness that we are approaching this event, we know that the requisite preparation has been made and the requisite measures have been put in place to ensure that we are able to provide the much needed security for this event.
Yeah. Apart from the real conference venue, we've been made to understand that there will be what will be called the fan pack, and that certainly will have so many people around. Are you deploying around the area soon?
And let me say that our security has been segmented into many precincts. We are looking at security at venue. Apart from the venue of the event, we are also looking at security in Sunyane. Then security around or in areas, villages, towns within the environs of Sunyane. Then we are also considering security on the various routes, be they highways or minor ways or whatever, even if it's feeder routes, all the security on the various routes leading out of and coming into Sunyane. We know that this is an opportunity for some miscreants who have evil minds to hit people who will be plying the roads, I mean highway robbers. And therefore, we are securing the various routes with highway patrol teams. We are also looking at traffic management within the Sunyane metropolis. Other people will be, flying Sunyane and flying the various routes that enter and go out of Sunyane to perform their own socio-economic activities. People who will not be bothered at all about what is going on at the conference or at the congress. And therefore, they must also be aided to go about their activities in peace without let or hindrance. So we are going to create a congenial atmosphere for them also to ply whatever trade they want to ply, be provided this legitimate. And so we are looking, in fact, we must also not forget about an important aspect of the security, that is intelligence gathering, intelligence collection. We know that it shouldn't be all the people, all personnel of the service who should be uniform personnel to provide the actual protection. But there should be others who should be sniffing and gathering the requisite intelligence that we need to operate effectively. Some of the crimes, some of the activities must be nipped in the bud. And this one will be made possible by our intelligence apparatus.
Yeah. So about how many men do you have deployed?
Let me say that we have deployed as many men as will make it possible, make it easy for us to buy security. In fact, as part of the security itself, it is expedient that we don't disclose the strength of our personnel.
DSP Sefasata, we want to thank you very much. As the acting head of the Police Public Affairs Directorate. But what about the party itself? What is the party scene? Yaw Boateng Jan is national organizer of the National Democratic Congress, and he's also on the line with us. Thanks so much for joining us this evening. Secondly, the last time we spoke, you said you were 95% ready. Are you now 100% ready?
I will say that we are 99% ready. We are now left with the solution of the change things and some few decorations that we need to put up there. And with that, I think we can expect. If you ask anybody who has visited the place, you know, regularly, you will tell you that we've done enough, you know, to get a place ready for the conference.
But we are talking still about security, and we've heard the numbers being deployed by just one group in the party. Is that any issue of concern to you?
Well, I haven't actually seen any group, you know, deploying some security personnel to this particular congress.
Not as security personnel, but deploying their main members of the group still in your party.
I haven't heard of anything like that. The national executive, the general secretary is around. The national chairman, Alain, is also on the way coming. And we haven't heard of any, you know, faction, you know, mobilizing his or her members, you know, to form any security group. In fact, we have already said that once the president and the vice president are involved in this program, you know, their protection and their security is paramount when it comes to, you know, trying to put up or deploy the security personnel. So this one is purely a state affair. It is the state that is providing security. So we will not even allow any of the factions, you know, to come up with their own form of security. That one is not allowed.
Do you have all the delegates there yet? That is where they've been designated to be.
We're expecting the delegates to arrive tomorrow. But we have some of the leadership, you know, coming in. I told you when I think last time I spoke with you that for the first time, some of the leadership have come to inspect where their delegates will be launched. And we have also said that they are making arrangements, you know, to feed themselves by arranging for cafes, you know, to cook for the delegates. I think that is why some of the leadership of the regions and the constituencies have come here. I think I've seen quite a number of them, and the large number of them will be arriving tomorrow.
We want to leave you for now, and thank you so much, because we hear it's been a really tough day for you. Yaw Boateng Jan is national organizer of the National Democratic Congress. In another development, the majority in parliament have sought permission to enable some NDC MPs to attend the Sumiai Congress. Even though parliament will sit for tomorrow, critics say it will greatly affect deliberations in the House. We have joining us on the line now Majority Leader Cletus Avoka to look at the issue. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, too.
Yes. How many NDC MPs are you expecting to be at the Congress in Sumiai?
Oh, in all, if we take NDC MPs and then their allies, like PNC, two of them, and then one independent, we are 190. That includes ministers and deputy ministers who are MPs.
Yeah.
We are 190.
Will their absence not affect business in the House?
Certainly, it will affect the business of the House, but you know that this is also an important political and the program, and also part of our democratic process.
Okay.
So we have to marry the two together to make sure that at least we get the results. So it's not that tomorrow morning there will be some few members of the NDC who will go to Parliament to attend to the chamber, and then on or by the by afternoon time, by noon, they will also be able to leave to Sinyana so they can drive in the daytime, not in the night. So we, by consensus, there will be light work in Parliament tomorrow. There won't be major activity and there won't be any controversial matter because both sides will not be balanced in the chamber.
Okay, you say by consensus. That means you've already sought the minority's view on it. Is that
exactly.
true?
We have discussed that with the Madam Speaker, and then today, and then the majority appreciate the political program that we have. It would have been ideal if we were doing this during recess of Parliament. But since, unfortunately, it is not during the recess of Parliament, and it is only Friday that some of us will be absent from the chamber. I think they accept the situation.
As you talk about it, we still want to know, you've just hinted on it, that it would have been ideal if Parliament were to be on recess. Looking forward, there may be a repetition of such a Congress or so. Are you coming to an agreement with the parties that perhaps you try to schedule it within the time of recess?
That's the best arrangement to do. We will in the future try to impress upon various parties that if there are major events like congresses of this nature, it is prudent to have them during the time that Parliament goes on recess. Failing which, then there should be at a weekend. For example, if the Congress was taking place in Accra here, that we used to have in Lagos and elsewhere, Parliament would not have a problem in the sense that we can still work on the Friday and close at 2 o'clock, our closing time, and then go to the Congress, report for the Congress Friday evening and have it the main one on Saturday. But because we have to travel far out of Accra, people have to use Friday to travel. So I think that the most prudent thing to do is to be able to engage constructively with the leaders of the various political parties so they can also appreciate the parliamentary calendar, which is also very important in the political growth of this country, so we can amalgamate the two, ensure that we have the political party programs going on, and at the same time, they don't disrupt the work of Parliament. So we are discussing that.
Okay. Secretary Savoka, I want to thank you so much for your time this evening. That's the majority leader in Parliament. But what does the minority say about it? We have the leader, Osechi Mensah-Bonsu, also joining us on the line. Sir, we appreciate your time. What do you say of the intended absence of the majority tomorrow? We hear there is a consensus.
We have to tolerate the situation. I wouldn't say that there was consensus because clearly it would be difficult to progress in the House without the majority. And so we are forced to live with it. It is not as if we think that it is a good situation. I think certainly we could have done better by that. What I do know is that ever since my own entry into Parliament, the previous arrangements that we have had, and I related to same when I was commenting a little bit on it this afternoon. I clearly remember that during the times of the Honorable J. Joshua Champong, when he was the majority leader, even the era of Dr. Kobne James, the congresses of the NDC were all held during our recess period. Equally so for the MPP in minority and the MPP in majority. So it's a bit unfortunate that the NDC would want to believe that they were not consultative enough with the leadership of the party in Parliament. If they were, this thing could have been avoided. It's most unfortunate, but it's happening, so we have to live with it. But I want to believe that if they had engaged the party leadership in Parliament, the situation would not have arisen in the first place. So let's see to work to avoid a future recurrence of this rather unfortunate situation.
Yeah.
So we have to live with it.
Okay. Looking forward at the larger picture, can we have it in place that perhaps it would be good and prudent to regularly hold it during recess and not during when Parliament is sitting?
Not precisely is what I've said, because
yeah.
I've indicated that the previous ones that we have had relating to both the NDC and the MPP have all been held during the recess period. So I cannot really comprehend why this time around they are choosing to do it when Parliament is in session. And there are many government businesses that we have to attend to before we adjourn. Let's not forget Parliament is scheduled to adjourn on the 22nd of this very month, which is exactly 2 weeks from tomorrow. And the Congress is not just an any easy going affair. People have to be very much engaged. And for all you know, even coming back next week Tuesday, you may not have a full house because some of them, after the event, would still maybe stay behind to engage their constituents and so on. And you see that maybe Tuesday will not have any good numbers to transact business. Government is minded to bring a supplementary budget. We are looking forward to it on Wednesday, Thursday. And expect to have full numbers to discuss the issues that may ensue from the supplementary budget. So it's important that we do not disrupt the calendar of Parliament in this manner. It's unfortunate. As I said, maybe we all have to learn useful lessons from this. And in particular, if it's coming from the ruling party, it certainly cannot be the best because they are the people who are bringing government business. And most of the things that we do in Parliament are all government business. So if government has to, government machinery has to move elsewhere in this manner, it certainly cannot be the best. But let's see. I think with a bit more of consultation, the situation could be avoided. And I believe the better alternative would be to avoid such situations in future.
I want to thank you very much for your time.
Most welcome.
That's the minority leader, Sekou Mensah Bonsu, telling us how the issue will affect Parliament. But very soon we'll be moving to the Upper West Regional branch of the CPP. There is something brewing there. Before then, we have some of your tests here. The father for all has now become the father for only the NDC team B. God says Ghana politics. His son, Dobile Wa. Hi, President Mills. You have won in advance. No shaking. I am imagining how FONCA members' faces will look like. I have Isaac from Alaju is sending in that one. And please inform Nana that she would not succeed in her personal interest and should know we Ghanaians are not ready for her. Delegates don't make a mistake. President Mills' performance is remarkable so far and should be rewarded. That is coming from Sheikh Daniel Seshi Pabwasi. And it is Atanos all the way. God bless Ata, God bless NDC, and God bless Ghana. Suleiman from Malaysia, man from, and big amount of Kunsu. I don't believe we need the Azoka boys as Sunyai. After all, they don't have accreditation. And FONCA should forget about the elections because President Mills will win the elections hands down. Abeku Sam of cantonments. NDC will unite to face the vibrant opposition. MPP, we need your positive prayers. God save us. Aziz from Washington, in that one. And victory is for Mills, but founder Flight Lieutenant Rawlings wants back his party. We, the NPP, are calm and watching them to cause their downfall. Ghanaians are fed up with Prof. Mills and the NDC government. We need deliverance from God and Nanadu. Please, Nanadu, we need you. We are suffering. We voted for a West change, and we don't want to repeat that. Abdul Wahab, Yendi, sent in that one. You can keep them coming in as we treat them, but be mindful of the language. And we move to our next story. Still on policies. It appears all is still not well in the Upper West Regional branch of the CPP. About 2 weeks ago, behind the news, did a story in which the second regional vice president of the CPP, Mohammed Issa Nibisi, expressed reservation about some actions of the national chairman, Ladi Nailanda. Mr. Nibisi maintained that the national chairman has been dealing with the Upper West chairman, Abu Mumuni, who is alleged to have resigned. The present bone of contention is that the NDC-led group is ready to conduct constituency and regional executive elections, but the national chairman has directed that the regional office of the Electoral Commission deals with Abu Mumuni. We have now the national chairman, Ladi Nailanda, to tell us what the issue is in the Upper West region of the CPP. Mr. Nailanda, can you just confirm whether Mr. Abu Mumuni has resigned his position or otherwise?
No, he has not resigned. And that seems to be the cause of this problem. Just 2 weeks ago, Mr. Abu Mumuni attended the Central Committee and he explained. I don't know whether they were having a meeting and in a fit of anger, he said that he was going to step down. But he did not. And certainly, Central Committee has no knowledge of that. He hasn't brought a letter to the effect. So he continues to be the regional chairman. Now, if he, by word of mouth, said that he was going to resign, that does not mean that he has resigned. And for which reason, other people would take it upon themselves to spread the news that he has resigned and therefore try to dispossess him of his responsibilities. As far as I know, as far as the Central Committee knows, as far as Abu Muni has told us all, he has not resigned. We have not received a letter to that effect. So he is the authorized representative of CPP in the regional, in the region. So whether we like it or not, whether his opponents like it or not, he remains. Now, it doesn't mean that I am supporting him as a person. I'm supporting a matter of principle here. The man is the regional chairman of CPP. He hasn't resigned. And therefore, he is the one that we need to deal with. And that is all there is to the matter.
Yeah, Mr. Nylander, the last time we asked about this, you said the issue had been resolved. Why is it coming up again?
Well, I wish I knew. What I do know, or at least what I can surmise, is that they are in the process of electioneering. He, as the regional chairman, is the one that is not authorized, together with his executive committee, to carry out the elections. It appears that the people who are saying that he has resigned also think that it is for them to organize elections. And of course, that cannot be so. There can only be one head, and therefore he is the one that is authorized in concert with whoever is responsible to do what he has to do.
So have you tried to get the constituency executives together to try to iron out whatever problem they have with you dealing directly with the chairman DC has resigned?
Yes, I mean, I know that we've tried on a number of occasions. I think it was yesterday or the day before, where we advised them to try and get together and to reach a compromise. But it appears that they didn't reach a compromise, and the situation remains. I think that in order to maybe try to keep things on an even keel, he approached the electoral commissioner to help him out. And I did speak to the electoral commission, and they asked me to confirm that he is indeed the regional chairman, which I did, and I asked them if they could give him whatever assistance as they are obliged to give, and that's all that there is to that matter.
Okay, Mr. Nylander, please hold on for a moment. We have Mr. Mohammed Issa Nibisi, the second vice chairman, on the line, so that we clarify a few of the concerns. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Nylander.
Yeah, I do not wish to be arguing with anybody on
that. No, you won't be arguing, but right, you respond later if there are issues not thrashed out. So please hold on for a while. Mr. Nibisi, it appears there is some miscommunication about whether the chairman has resigned or not resigned. Do you have a letter to that effect?
No.
So why is it coming from your end that he's resigned?
Yeah, so last in a regional steering committee meeting that he is no more interested and I should take over. Apart from that, he's been indicted and we have served a copy to our national chairman, Nylander. He has it in his office.
But Mr. Nibisi, hello, you agree that such things are not done orally. They should be documented. So perhaps, have you tried to even extract any letter from him to that effect, that he is no more the chairman?
No, we didn't extract any letter from him. But I'm saying that he's indicted. We have passed a vote of no confidence in him and have sent the national office a copy.
Did you allow him to say something to that effect when you were passing the vote of no confidence?
Who?
Your chairman, yes.
No, he doesn't attend our meeting.
He doesn't attend at all?
Yes.
Have you tried to write to him directly to inquire so that there is documentation as to the process you followed so far in ensuring that really he's no more in that position?
what do you call it? He as the regional chairman, has decided to go wayward, and we want him to know that he's presiding over people. He alone is not the only member of CPP in the Upper West Region. So I want the national chairman to know that there is a problem between the steering committee and he as a single person. So why is it going around not solving the problem or not trying to find out from us, and he's dealing with the Abu Mumuni? I've constantly called him and told him that this is the problem. We have a problem at stake. But our chairman has said that he's no more interested. You said that he didn't write to you. He's been indicted. We have reported to you. You didn't ask. You are asking him to go on with the message. We, the National Steering Committee, apart except Abu Mumuni, have gone constitutionally also to do our election. So he will come and we will see whose results will be recognized.
Yeah, but you've mentioned this, and you are saying that you've called on Mr. Nylander on some occasions to know about the situation. Have you tried getting all parties together seated at the forum to quickly look at the issue so that if it's no more the person, everybody gets to know immediately?
Yes, he has a motion man that is using. So the two parties cannot sit down. He's going wayward, and the two parties cannot sit down, my brother.
So you believe now he's resigned?
I believe that he's been indicted. He has not resigned.
But you don't have any document to show that he's resigned?
Yes, we don't have document. But he mentioned it in our regional steering committee meeting minutes. And we have even sent the national chairman, Mr. Nylander, and of course, a Wuke Patterson.
Okay. I want to thank you very much for clarifying this one for us. But let's put it on record that we try getting the embattled regional chairman, Abu Mumuni, but up to now, we are not getting him to pick his call. So it's just unfortunate we can't get him to quickly tell us exactly what has happened from his perspective. But one institution caught up in the Upper West Regional CPP crisis is the Regional Office of the Electoral Commission. The officer in charge is Mama Yaya. Before we get to him, let's quickly ask Mr. Nylander. This is the situation. Perhaps, just as you suggested, he might have stated it in a space of fury.
Yes.
In that case, what do you do to still bring peace to the CPP in the region?
Well, as I said, we tried to get them to smooth the peace pipe, or at least agree and arrive at some compromises. I think it was the day before yesterday. They did meet, but things went sour, and they separated, and they were not prepared to come to any compromises between the two of them. And in the absence of that, there wasn't too much that could be done. The two people have to agree that they can do business together. If they cannot do business together, then I'm afraid things will not all go well. However, the business of CPP has to go on. And in the absence of resignation of the original chairman, I'm afraid he is the one that is our regional representative. Now, this is thing about the vote of no confidence or indictment. I don't know where it comes from, because the CPP constitution is silent on that. And therefore, they may, and I have actually received that vote of confidence signed by a number of people. But as far as I'm concerned, it's to no effect, because CPP constitution does not cater for such a situation, and therefore I'm afraid it's a stalemate. And that is how come the Electoral Commission got involved with all goodwill in the world to try and make something out of this rather sad situation.
I want to thank you for your time this evening, sir. Mr. Ladi Nylander is the chairman of the CPP, but still on the stalemate, as we informed you. The Regional Office of the Electoral Commission and the officer in charge are deep in that business. We have Mr. Mama Yaya on the line now. Thank you, sir, so much for your time. And what role have you been asked to play in the election of the constituency and regional executives at the moment, even though we are having this stalemate?
Yeah, thank you for your cherished listeners. Actually, a letter was sent to my office by the CDC. And then they indicated they wanted to have an election. So I collected this letter. To my utmost dismay, I noticed they were in two factions. The chairman on one side, and then the other members on the other side. Having noticed this, really, as my wrath. So I called the group and asked that actually they should go and sit with the chairman. Because if they wanted an election to be conducted by the EC, then I should be dealing with the group and not two groups. So they went away. So I was thinking maybe they had gone to meet. Again, the first group came. I said they wanted to have an election. Then I asked, where is the chairman? Then they told me the chairman had resigned. Then I said, oh, resigned? Then they told me no, it wasn't a resignation. He gave, because I asked whether he had given out a resignation letter. They said no. So they said the man had mentioned at the committee meeting that he was stepping down. If you ask them, then I told them no. Right now, since there is no document indicating that the man has resigned, it's now your word against his word. So please still go and bring him, and then we'll organize this election. So I noticed, actually, they were Adam. Until one day, that the national chairman, Mr. Islander, called on me on telephone to tell me the election which was to come on Saturday, and that was the 15th of June. This election was to come on the 15th. So Mr. Islander called to tell me, since there was this confusion between these two groups, he would suggest the election be postponed for a week. So I told Mr. Islander, you are very far away from me. Before I will come to accept what you are telling me, then I need to have a document from you. Not long, Mr. Islander was able to fax a copy, a letter to me indicating that the election should be postponed. So I called the two persons again to tell them this was the situation. And this group wanted to get a copy of this letter. Then I told them, no, this has been addressed to me. So if Mr. Islander wanted you to have a copy of this letter, I believe he would have copied you on that letter. So go and tell him that he has such a letter to me. You want a copy of that. They didn't go. All what I heard was that they went and organized a conference indicating that I had condived with Mr. Islander. And then a committee which was against the election for us to hijack this process. Actually, I didn't take this thing kindly. They came to my office still wanting me to conduct it. Then I told them I did not qualify. Since you accused me of conniving with an agenda, I don't qualify to take to conduct your election.
So it means that for the Electoral Commission, let me just come in. If you have a problem with the parties calling on you, you don't step in at all. Is that a situation?
Pardon me?
I'm asking whether if you have any challenge with those calling on you to hold the election, you will not like to step in at all.
No.
So what?
Because when they came, they wanted the election to be conducted on the 6th. Then the regional chairman also came, saying he wanted this thing to be conducted on the 6th. So I told all my officers to stay away from the process.
Okay. So, for now, what exactly are you going to do with the present situation?
Well, as of now, a letter has now been sent to me again yesterday, because I requested Mr. Islander to give me, because he was telling me the regional chairman is the acknowledged representative of CPP in the Upper West. I have a copy of that letter, and he tells me to deal with him. So I ask my officers to go and conduct this election, and the demands watch, that's what I told them. So currently, you know, they started the process today with the hope of having the regional congress on the 9th.
We want to thank you very much. I will still be following up to see exactly what comes out of it, of the feuding factions. It's Behind the News on Radio Ghana, linking up with all our regional FM stations. If you are in Sinai at the moment, you are getting us on Radio BAR. You just heard the Upper West Regional Electoral Commissioner, if we have to put it that way. That is the regional officer, Mama Yaya, talking on the issues. Well, if it is not an accident, then perhaps it is an incident, but still traveling. It is the prayer of every passenger to get to his or her destination safely. For a passenger to be subjected to beatings and robbery by fellow passengers is an ordeal every passenger wouldn't like to experience. But it's exactly what happened to passengers of a Yutong bus who were traveling from Accra to Takoradi last Friday night. Four armed robbers posing as passengers were reported to have boarded the vehicle, and during the journey, they molested the passengers and robbed them of their valuable items. The robbers then escaped with their booty in a waiting vehicle and left the passengers to their fate at a spot near the Apam Junction. Perhaps this could be their new strategy. And Behind the News wants to find out from the police and GPRCU how they are going to deal with this new phenomenon. The Apam District Commander of Police, Superintendent Odramenin, is now on the line with us to tell us precisely what happened. Superintendent, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome, sir.
Yes. What happened?
Well, actually, we were at the office on Monday when they came with an extract from Mankesim Police Station. On checking it and reading the other statements, we saw that a robbery case occurred within the Apam area, of which those robbers posed themselves as passengers in the vehicle. On reaching that spot, they came out firing gunshots and others to scare them, and apparently they were robbed and got away with their booty, as you were saying, a waiting vehicle. And they went away. So when the extract was gone, we had to investigate as it happened within our jurisdiction. So they came with two people that they were in the bus. And as to how they were connected to the offense, they don't know. But they said there was one soldier in the vehicle by name W01 Ago. He just left his number, but they did not ask of his station wherever he can be found, and we have been checking the number and it was not going. And those two people who were brought, that they were asleep in the vehicle when the incident occurred. So when they got up and they saw the whole thing. So when they came, they were also passengers who came to Accra to buy goods to go and sell at their destination. So I asked my CID to go with them to wherever they bought those goods, if it is true. And true, he came down with them. And all those places that they bought the goods were indicated, and they confirmed that yes, really they came to them buying goods to go and sell. So their bags and others were in the car. So said, okay, then that may be true. So they were released on bail, and we are now waiting for any other information which will help us to get the robbers.
So that means you've not been able to trace anything as of now?
Nothing as of now, because when it happened, they did not inform Apam police, but rather they drove from Apam Junction to Mankesim before a report was made.
Is it because they were not aware that there was a police station nearby?
Well, I can't tell yet, because the police station is inside. inside the Apam Township, but not at the junction. And the incident also occurred at the junction there.
Sometimes we see a police highway patrol and they don't really search. They just inspect a little and then allow the vehicles to move. Looking at this new strategy, does that mean you are going to change your mode of operation?
We will. By then, the question is, Master, if these people were already in the vehicle and they are having their weapons with them, it is hidden within the address, so it is difficult for you to detect. So this now, I think what the GPRC should do to help us is, those buses we go on the long journey, I think they go to the station to buy tickets. So on them buying the tickets, they should check them for us. They should help us by checking them, whoever is buying the tickets, and then his luggage and even the appearance. If he's having something on him, you could easily detect it. But if the police, we just stop the vehicle on the road and we check them, the passengers don't come down. We don't get the passengers down to check them one by one. That is unless we have something, we have tip-off, that we can be checking them one by one. But then, if the vehicle is just going and we are checking them, we don't go by getting the passengers down and then searching them one by one.
Okay. Superintendent, we want to thank you very much. Superintendent Udra Menin is the Apam District Commander of Police. We just want to pick a quick word. Just from what we heard, the GPRC has got a responsibility to also ensure that those getting on their buses are safe. Alhaji Ante Tete is the Greater Accra Regional Chairman of the GPRTU. Thank you very much, sir. With this, what are you going to do?
Well, we will try to make sure that our passengers are safe. But the issue is, some people can front for the ticket. So when they front for the ticket, you may be searching the wrong person. Because he comes and the person who is standing somewhere rather is the armed robber or the man to do the damage. So we'll try, but the fact is we are not safe. And if you look at the number of vehicles we load a day on the long distance route, it's more than the police. And so if we even ask for police protection, it cannot help. The only thing is, for all of us, because if somebody has a weapon, a gun on him, and he sits by a passenger, the passenger will feel it more. So let us all put our shoulders to the wheel and make sure that we get the safety side of our passengers.
Yeah.
So that is all that I would say.
Alhaji Ante Tete, we want to thank you, but we'll still be looking at how we can explore other ways to keep passengers very safe on the buses.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks so much. That is the Greater Accra Regional Chairman of the GPRTU. But earlier we said we were not getting the regional chairman, that is the embattled regional chairman of the Upper West CPP on the line. We've just managed to establish contact. We'll go to quickly ask him, Mr. Abu Muni, you were said to have stated that you were resigning from your position as the chairman. Is that what you did?
Hello.
We are asking that we are told that you said you were resigning from your position as the chairman. Is that what you did?
Well, yes, as they keep on saying, this thing was not a verbal position imposed on me. So as a previous it's disgraceful for one to go on saying that someone said he wanted to resign without receiving a letter of resignation from him. I was voted into office the same day with all of them. I'm now term of office will be ending up this year. So the elections is by the corner for us to conduct constituency elections and go for regular elections. So why you think that I said I was going to resign and you cannot produce a letter of resignation?
So you believe you are still the chairman?
It's not a matter of believing. By the principles and by the constitution of CPP, I'm still the chairman.
But you stated in a fit of anger, perhaps, that you wanted to resign. Is that it?
Oh, me tell you, the fact of the case is that people from Accra turn people down to open accounts for some of the constituent executives. With the idea of some of these regrets, I told them, if, let me tell you, if somebody is coming back for a position, I was that in was in that position for 4 years but could not open accounts for constituent executives. Why this time? So I said, if such a thing should go on with some of you people going behind, I will not be in the position to leave you. This is what I told them.
Okay. Okay. I want to thank you very much because of our time here. Mr. Abu Mumuniapa, CPP Regional Chairman. It's behind the news and time to go, but we have some of your tests here. He says, even if the NDC should send all the security apparatus to Sunyani, it will not prevent a breakaway from the party. All they need is a free and fair election to manage the situation. Iliatu from Sobeli Tamale, even if Mills wins by a wide margin predicted by game, it's still a shame and unprecedented for a sitting president to be contested. He tells us that all is not well in the NDC and should be shown the exit. Come 2012, Fatal Wa sends that one. Please, Kunedu, better resign tonight before July 9th in order to avoid disgrace, Professor Kai Tamale. Atoka boys have no right to protect life and property. They should give us a break, Sham Yindi. And game plus Fonka times Rollins is equal to massive victory for Nanado and the MPP in 2012 for Tao. But that game of Fonka, Nanado will be sworn in after 2012. So when this is stop your wrangling, Jacob Dombo is sending that one. Security should do well to bring to book anyone who tries to introduce violence tomorrow at the NDC Congress. It's tonight, Karim Bana, and only God knows who will win, Gabriel Kaba or Sola. The NDC has disappointed Ghanaians. Whether Kunedu or Mills, they will be out of office. Amandu is sending that one. And Nana Kunedu is wasting their time. Mills is the best man. From Francis Banankai. Well, I thank you all for sending in the text. On behalf of our production team of Christopher Siedu, Bryce Adama, Edmund Tete, and at the controls, Joseph Nitego, my name is Kingsley of Interest.
Transmitting live from the capital, this is Unique 95.7.